Long ago, in a faraway place, there lived a little boy named Kaler who lived in a village with his mother, his father, and his three older brothers. Kaler's older brothers were the pride and joy of the village. They were the smartest, bravest, most handsome boys. Every girl in the village dreamed of marrying one of Kaler's brothers. And then there was Kaler, who was very different. Kaler was much smaller than his brothers. In fact, he was much smaller than any of the other boys in the village. And he had a club foot. And so while the other boys would run around and play games and wrestle, Kaler would limp through the village, looking longingly at the games and the fun the other boys were having, wishing he could be like them. When he was with his family around the meal table, he would look at his brothers and wish he were brave like they were, wish he were handsome. But he wasn't. He was a little kid with a club foot and a limp who would never be like them or the other kids. While Kaler's drama was unfolding season after season, there was another larger drama that had been unfolding for generations. You see, many generations before, legend had it that a small mountain lizard had crawled into this apparently mysterious and mystical Legend had it that many generations before, a small mountain lizard had crawled into this magical cave. And because it never came out, it never saw the light of day, it had slowly transformed into a dragon. Unwary travelers who would seek shelter in this cave were never heard of again. All that remained were their bones littered about the cave floor. Brave warriors from all across the region who sought out that cave to slay that dragon. Their shields and their swords lay strewn about the cave floor. And still, season after season, the dragon grew larger and more fearsome. One day, Kaler's brothers and his father decided it was their turn to find and slay the dragon because they were the bravest and the best warriors of the village. And they started collecting their gear, sharpening their swords. And Kaler watched them from a distance. And as he was watching them, something happened. It was almost as if the last dying ember of a campfire is breathed upon, and new life is breathed into that dying ember, and it flickers into a tiny flame because this ember of something. Maybe it was hope. Maybe it was courage. Maybe it was wisdom. That ember flickered inside of Kaler. And he heard himself saying, almost as if he was hearing another person say, "I'm going with you." And the brothers and the dad just kind of looked at him with amazement and more than a little disdain. This was clearly not the Kaler they knew, and it was clearly preposterous what he was saying. The oldest, bravest, strongest brother said with disdain in his voice, "You're not coming with us. You'd slow us down, and what, you're going to fight the dragon too? Give me a break." And usually, if Kaler had done anything remotely like that before, anything remotely speaking up for himself or asking for what he wanted, and he got that sort of rebuff, he would have cringed, maybe even apologized. But once that flame starts flickering, it'll never go out. And again, almost like he heard somebody else saying it, he said, no, I'm going with you. I'm not going to try to fight the dragon. He was kind of like, give me a break. But I will go and I will make camp and I will cook. I will do the things that I can do. And Kaler's father and brothers stared at him again, and it was clear that he wasn't going to back down. And they didn't have the time or the energy to convince him how ridiculous his idea was. So they just, to get him out of their hair, they said, fine, get your gear. And so Kaler grabbed his small pouch that he kept his fishing twine and a bone fishing hook and a small bone-bladed knife, and he was ready to go. Well, they left the village, slowly climbed the mountain trail, higher, higher, higher up into the mountains. It took them 2 days to reach the meadow that was by that magical and mysterious cave. The brothers and fathers could have done it in less than a day, but Kaler was there, so he slowed them down, which they let him know frequently. They looked at the cave entrance, and the sun was setting, and so they decided to pitch camp, and the brothers and the father would go find and hopefully slay the dragon the following morning. So they set up camp, Kaler cooked, and with the coal black sky and the diamond bright stars above them, the brothers and the father just stared, looking at the sky, lying on their backs on their bedrolls on the ground, each one terrified of what the future would bring. None of them saying a thing about their fear. Meanwhile, Kaler drifted off into sleep. And he had a dream, and it really was a healing dream, although he wouldn't have known it. Because in his dream, a huge eagle soared down from above and landed right next to him and wordlessly beckoned him to climb on his back. Surprised to say the least, Kaler climbed onto the huge eagle's back, and they took off, and they soared up higher and higher and higher until he could see the village that he lived in. And then the eagle plummeted down until he got to a height where Kaler was still far above the village, but people, their expressions, their movements, and their identities were plainly evident. And he could make out the various boys, the girls, the elders, his parents. And then he saw himself, little Kaler. And he saw this little boy limping around the village, trying hard to be invisible, trying hard not to be seen. He could see the downcast eyes, the slumped shoulders, the shame about just being who he was and so inadequate, especially compared to his brothers. And as he soared in circles on the eagle's back, because he was high above the village, he could see, much to his surprise, little invitations and offerings from the various kids, inviting him in subtle ways to join them, whether it was in a game or joking or swimming in the river. And as he watched, he found himself thinking, that little boy doesn't even notice the invitations. And they circled and they circled, and he took in more. And then finally, the eagle flew back to the mountaintop with him and gently let him back down in the meadow. And Kaler awoke, and it was daylight. And he didn't remember his dream, because often that is the case with healing dreams, but he knew he felt different. There was something different inside. Perhaps it was a hopefulness. Perhaps it was greater awareness of the invitations all around. Perhaps it was just feeling better, literally feeling uplifted. And he had no idea why, but he went about his chores and making breakfast. Breakfast was done. Father and three brothers get their weapons and tell Kaler sternly, if they don't come out by the end of the day, he was to head back to the village. Kaler wished them luck, and they entered the cave. They entered the darkness. They entered their fear, because the cave was everything and more you would imagine from a frightening cave. There wasn't just the absolute darkness, which their torch barely cut through. It wasn't just that it was dank and smell bad, but they could hear rats scurrying about, snakes slithering, bats, burst of sound as scores of them flew off the ceilings that they were hanging from. And they walked and they walked and they walked in silence. They crawled over rocks in what felt like hours, until they rounded a bend in the tunnel, and there was a huge lake. And in the darkness, it looked like it was a pool of black, blacker than any night, and yet sparkling on the surface in one small area, looked like glittering diamonds. There was one small crack in the ceiling of this huge cavern that let the light pour through, and that single shaft of light glittered upon the surface of the lake and danced like sparkling diamonds. And there, at the far edge of the lake, hunkered down, staring at these glittering diamonds of sunlight, was the most terrifying monster that the three brave brothers and the brave father could have ever hoped to never see. Any monster that had ever chased them in their dream was nothing compared to Lore. He was the size of three horses at least. Thick, muscular neck, long, spike-studded tail, scales the size of two men's shields, and just this glowing red eye on either side of his face. As they looked at Lore, all the fears that they had never admitted to in their life came into their hearts, their minds, their bodies. And as one, they decided that today was not the day to fight this dragon, to face this dragon, to slay this dragon. And they turned and they crept away. In their fear, they became clumsy. And the oldest, bravest brother, in his fear and clumsiness, dropped his spear, and it clattered against the cave floor and broke the spell. And Lore looked up. The spell was broken. He was no longer mesmerized by the glittering light upon the surface of the black lake. and he knew somebody was in his cave. And he heaved his huge body up and started moving slowly toward the tunnel, toward the brothers and the father. And he slowly picked up speed. And he grew faster and faster, and they ran faster and faster. And they ran for their lives. They ran and they ran, the sheer terror driving them faster and faster, and Lore closing the distance. Finally, they reach the cave entrance, and they blasted out of the darkness and into the light of day, and they kept running and running and running farther away from the cave entrance, for they had forgotten the legend. Lore had not, and he stayed within the cave. Just panting for breath, their hearts pounding, they reached the camp, they reached little Kaler. And instead of acknowledging their fear, acknowledging their shame for turning and running, acknowledging their shame for being human and afraid, they turned it on Kaler and said again, almost in unison, "We've got to get more weapons from the village," because they all had dropped theirs. "Because of you, it's going to take us twice as long." Kaler just smiled at them. He didn't feel hurt. He didn't feel angry. He just said, "Go ahead. Go to the village and get more weapons. I'll be here." They glared at him and went off, heading down the mountain to the village. The rest of the day, Kaler just wandered about, just looking at the flowers, listening to the birds, feeling the warmth of the sun. As the sun set, he made his meal and he fell off to sleep. And this time, the eagle came again. He climbed on the eagle's back and they flew high above the village. But this time, it was as if Kaler was seeing a memory from in the future. It was as if he was seeing things that were going to be, that were going to come, but they had already happened. Because as he flew overhead and circled the village with the eagle, he saw young Kaler, not much older than he was right now, playing with the other boys. And yeah, he still had his limp, but it didn't slow him down. Well, yeah, it slowed him down, but it didn't keep him from playing. He even was wrestling, and he was clearly joking and having fun and swimming with the other kids. And he even smiled to himself when he saw himself talking with this pretty little girl in the village that he had always had kind of a crush on. And there he could see himself talking and laughing, and they were both having a good time. And he smiled as he held on to the eagle's broad back. And so this went on for a while throughout much of the night, and when it was over, the eagle descended from above, landed in the field, let him off, and then he awoke. Again, with no memory of the dream, but feeling very different in some mysterious way. And after he made breakfast, still feeling almost like that dreamy feeling when you're lying on the back in the, on your back in the sun in a meadow, feeling the breeze and hearing the birds. With that dreamy feeling, he just wandered about some more in the meadow. And not really noticing what he was doing or wondering why, He found himself wandering over to some movement in the field, and it was an eagle feather fluttering in the breeze. And he picked it up and he put it in his leather pouch with the fishing twine, the bone blade knife, and the bone fishing hooks. And he walked a little farther and he saw this sparkling in the sunlight. And he bent over to look closer, and it was a beautiful crystal, just glittering like a diamond. And he picked it up and he put it in his pouch, along with the eagle feather, the twine, the bone blade knife, and the bone fishing hook. And still in this dreamlike state, he hobbled toward the cave and entered the darkness. He had no idea why he was doing this or what he would do if he ever came upon the frightening dragon. He just knew he was being drawn into the cave for a reason. And it was the same terrifying cave that his brothers and his father navigated, of course. The snakes, the rats, the bats, the damp smells, the pitch black darkness barely pierced by his tiny torch. And he hobbled farther into the cave, into the darkness, until he rounded that same bend, saw the same cavern, the same black lake of water, and the same glittering diamond of sunlight. Like somebody had thrown a handful of diamonds on this small area of the lake. And there at the far edge of the cavern, at the edge of the lake, was the same terrifying, terrifying monster that was more frightening than any monster in any nightmare he had ever had. And as he looked at Lore, with his huge scales, his spiky tail, his malevolent, ominous presence, Kaler found himself still, as in a dream, just reaching into his pouch, pulling out the crystal and the eagle feather, tying them up in the twine, the fishing twine, and then just gently heaving it as far as he could toward Lore. And if somebody asked him, what are you doing? What's your game plan? He would have been able to say, I have no idea. But in this dreamlike state, he did what he was called to do. The crystal clattered against the cave floor. Lore picked up his huge head and saw the glittering of the crystal, and heaved his huge body up off the cave floor and started coming toward it, curious. He was once again mesmerized, once again enchanted. And he followed the crystal and the feather, bumping along the rocks of that cave floor as Kaler slowly limped his way to the cave entrance. And because he was just a crippled little kid with a club foot, he couldn't run. He could only hobble. But because he hobbled, he moved slowly and quietly. And he moved slowly and quietly toward the light of day. And when he finally stepped out of the darkness and into the light and kept walking farther and farther into the field, into the meadow, into the light, because he had not forgotten the legend. Lore, still mesmerized by the crystal and the feather, followed him right out of the cave entrance and into the light. Kaler started to turn around when he heard an explosion sounding louder than any thunderclap he had ever heard. And when he turned around, there was a huge flash and then a plume of smoke. And when the plume drifted away on the afternoon breeze, all that remained was a scrawny, pathetic little mountain lizard. And Kaler smiled to himself because he remembered the legend that when this mountain lizard hid in this magical cave and never saw the light of day and hid in the darkness, it became a dragon. But if this dragon ever was brought into the light of day, it would become a scrawny, pathetic little mountain lizard and could never, ever become a dragon again. So as Kaler is looking upon this little mountain lizard with a mixture of compassion and peace, he hears a, "Let's kill it." And he turns around. There's his brothers and his dad come back from the village with their weapons. And their desire to make right what they saw as their shameful cowardice, and to prove to themselves and each other they were in fact brave, they wanted to kill the lizard. And Kaler just looked at them with kind eyes and said, "Come on, you remember the legend. You remember what happens to Lore when he sees the light of day and what can never happen again." And with that little bit of time that Kaler took to say that, it gave the frightened little lizard a chance to scurry away to safety, to spending the rest of his life as nothing more than a lizard. They gathered up their gear, broke down the camp, doused any remaining coals, and started heading back down the trail to the village. His father and brothers walked silently toward the village, lost in their own thoughts, thinking about what they learned in the cave and in the meadow, and found themselves puzzling about Kaler and what they might learn from him and his actions. And as they were thinking those thoughts, Kaler was taking one step at a time back toward the village. And each step, it was as if he were once again on the back of that huge eagle soaring over the village. And each step closer to what was his home and is his home, but in some mysterious way, his home in a very new and different way. Each step brought forth an image in his mind of seeing himself, noticing the invitations from the other kids, seeing himself inviting other kids to play or to talk, and noticing how he no longer made up stories in his head about how different he was and how that would keep him from playing with the other kids. Instead, he just noticed opportunities to have fun and be a kid and enjoy his life as Kaler, who learned something in the cave that day and out in the light that he would never forget. And that's the story of Kaler long ago and far away.